Take your Bibles, please. And if you would like a straw, I have a few extras, if you'd like one of these as a bookmark. But open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Today we're going to begin a brief series called Pure Milk. And we are going to talk about what it is that God wants us to want from His Word and how to get it. And I want to deal with a quick objection right up front, because you might hear that and say, well, I thought what God wanted us to want from His Word is meat. Well, that's good. You should want meat too. But Peter, in 1 Peter 2, is not making the distinction, as other writers do, like Paul and the writer of Hebrews. He is not making the distinction between milk and meat. And he is, in fact, commanding us to want milk. So understand that when Peter says, desire the pure milk of the Word, he's not excluding the meat of the Word. And we'll get more into that as time goes by. But this morning, we are going to look here at verses 1 to 3. In fact, not just today, but next week and probably the week after. Because one thing that you're going to find is there's more milk and meat here than meets the eye. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. Title is Pure Milk. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now we need to begin with a very basic truth that is behind a lot of what we're going to talk about this week and next week and probably the week after that. And that basic truth is this. Make sure that you get this down, okay? Make sure that you get this down at least in your mind. The living God has chosen to speak to us today, and that means in this day, okay? The living God has chosen to speak to us in this day by means of His living and written Word. Did you catch it? If I gave you a quiz, could you pass? The living God, okay, that is the one true God. I like the title, the living God. That title is repeated many times in Scripture. We are called to trust in the living God, 1 Timothy 4:10. Actually, 1 Timothy 4:10 says, we have trusted in the living God. And you are the temple of the living God, according to 2 Corinthians 6:16. And we who preach the word, that you should turn away from useless things to the living God, according to Acts 14:15. So the living God has chosen to speak to us. What do I mean? He's chosen to communicate to us, to reveal His will to us, to reveal His ways to us. The living God has chosen to speak to us today, in this day and age, in the 21st century. The living God has chosen to speak to us today by means of His living and written Word. That's the Bible. This is the living Word of God. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, according to Hebrews 4:12. And God has chosen to speak to us today not by means of signs and wonders, not by means of something you see in the clouds, not by means of the price came down on the thing you always wanted to buy, and oh, that must be God speaking to me. That's not how God speaks to us. The living God has chosen to speak to us today by means of this. This. And it is amazing how many Christians do not know that. And it is amazing how many Christians, they don't read this. They don't study this. They don't meditate on this. They don't know this, and I'm holding up a Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They don't study the Bible. They don't desire the pure milk of the Bible. And we're going to find there's a reason why they don't. Okay? Now let me clarify. In the years B.C., before Christ, in the years B.C., God spoke to His people Israel by the prophets. And over the years, God sovereignly preserved 39 books, which we refer to as the Old Testament. Okay, some would say that's the Holy Scriptures in the years B.C. And the Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome that these things, speaking of the 39 books of the Old Testament, these things were written for our learning, Romans 15:4. To the church in Corinth, Paul says they were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages has come, 1 Corinthians 10:11. And throughout all the Old Testament books, God kept promising and prophesying that there would come a Savior, the Messiah, right, the Anointed One. Well, then He came. Jesus Christ came. Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the good news. Jesus Christ came into this world to be the Savior for sinners. And God spoke in His Son. Right? God spoke in Christ. But then, as you know, Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, He was buried, and on the third day He arose again. The Bible says that He showed Himself alive to many people by many infallible proofs, and then He rose up again into heaven. And in the early years after Christ's ascension, what did God do? God, in His grace and in His sovereignty and in His wisdom, He had the apostles and the prophets write down for us the words and the works of Jesus Christ. He had them write it down in books. And now, added to the 39 books, which we commonly call the Old Testament, are 27 more that we commonly call the New Testament. So we have 66 books. This is a library. How many books are in the library? 66 books. That library is the once-for-all delivered to the saints faith. The faith once-for-all delivered to the saints. It's completed. It's finished. At the end of this book, at the end of the 66 books, God gave a warning to anyone who would add to the book or take away from it. And we now have a completed revelation that goes all the way out to and including the eternal state. There's nothing to be added, and there's nothing to be taken away. And I tell you again, the living God has chosen to communicate to us today by means of His living and written word. This is how we know the will of God. It's written in a book. This is how we know what to do in various situations. It's written in a book. This is how we know how to live life, how to treat your wife, how to treat your husband, how to raise your children, how to handle your finances, how to treat your boss, how to treat your employees, how to treat your coworkers. This is how we know. This is how we know what to do if your kid's involved in drugs and alcohol. This is how we know what to do if someone you love is going the wrong way. This is how we know the way to eternal life. God has chosen to speak to us in a book. And we, if you are believers, we as believers are to come to this book and we are to want something specific. What is it? Look again at verse 2. As newborn babes, and I'll stop there, this is to all Christians. This is not just to baby Christians. As newborn babes describes how it is that we are to want what God wants us to want from His Word. We're supposed to want it like a baby wants milk. Okay? He doesn't say, you all are a bunch of babies. No, He says, like newborn babies, you are to desire what? What's the text say? The pure milk of the Word. The truth behind these verses is there is something specific that God wants every Christian to want every time he comes to the Word of God. Whether you're an old man or an old woman, whether you're a young man or a young woman, whether you're a youth, a single, doesn't matter. You are to want something specific, and you should be wanting something specific out of this message. You're supposed to come wanting pure milk. Now, literally, it says, and I'm going to transliterate here, you are like newborn babes, it says, the logikon, or the logikon, pure milk desire. Now, I'm transliterating the Greek term, logikon. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something you know? Logic, or logical. In fact, one of the best Greek dictionaries or Greek lexicons says that this was a favorite word among philosophers. It's an adjective. They would say, well, that's logical. That's reasonable. That's rational. And it's a word that describes the milk that we're to want from God's Word. But this is not human logical. It's theological. You are to desire the theological pure milk. What we are to want from the Word of God is not history, though history is something you can get from the Word of God, and history is great. What you are to want from the Word of God is not sociology, though there is sociology here, and sociology is interesting. Study of human societies and how people interact. What you're to want from the Word of God is not psychology, though there's certainly some psychology in here. It's not philosophy, as in human wisdom. The thing you are to want from the Word of God is theology. I'm going to say it again. Christ commands you to desire theology, teaching, sound doctrine, truth. And yet, do you know there are many professing Christians who hate theology, who want nothing to do with theology, who think theology is boring, or think that theology is divisive? If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, the Savior, Jesus Christ, through His Apostle Peter, right here in 1 Peter 2:2, commands you to desire the theological pure milk, the pure milk of the Word. And as we're going to see, the pure milk of the Word does refer to theological truth that is found in abundance on every single page of the Bible. But before we get to verse 2, we've got to deal with verse 1. And here's why. And here is the pure milk that comes out of verse 1. Here is the main truth, the theological doctrine that comes out of 1 Peter 2, verse 1. You ready? Here it is. Before you desire the pure milk of God's Word, that you may grow thereby, two things have to happen. In fact, I would even say, before you are able to desire the pure milk of God's Word, that you may grow thereby, two things have to happen. The obvious question is, what are they? Good question. Here's the answer. You must be born again, and you must lay aside all sin. If you don't have any desire for the theology that comes out of God's Word, it's probably because you've either never been born again, or you have not laid aside your sin. Because sin is a hindrance to wanting the Word of God. And people who are in sin, they don't want the theology that comes out of the Bible. And the other group of people who don't want the theology that comes out of the Bible are people who are dead, spiritually dead, never been born again. And that's why they don't want what comes out of the Bible. So first, before you can desire the pure milk of God's Word that you may grow thereby, you must be born again. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, stop there. What does therefore mean? If you look it up in a dictionary, it means as a result of this, or in light of these things, or in light of this, or as a consequence, kind of means since this is true. Well, what does therefore refer to? It refers to the fact that you've been born again by the Word of God. Take a look at verse 23. 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Apostle Peter is talking here to people that he believes are believers. And he says, you've been born again. How have you been born again? Well, it's not of corruptible seed, not of some kind of a seed that will eventually die, and therefore a seed that could only produce life that would eventually die. No, you've been born again of a different kind of seed. What kind of seed? Incorruptible. You know what that means? If you're a Christian, you've been born again by a seed that never decays and is never subject to death. What's so good about that? That same seed can produce life that doesn't die. That same seed can produce eternal life. So by what seed have you been born again unto eternal life? Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, what is so great about that is not just that the word of God lives and abides forever, but that it produces enduring life in you. And listen, if you're not paying attention to me right now, because I can see some of you are not paying attention. And you know why? Probably because you've never been born again. Or because you're living in sin, and you really don't care what the preacher's saying. Yes, and I'm confronting you who are not paying attention or who are distracting others. You know why? Because I'm telling you the eternal truth of God. God has chosen to speak to you through me. It's God you're offending. Yes, and I am offended when you offend God. It's God you're offending when you don't give a rip about what the pastor has to say. It's God you offend. And the reason many people don't care what God has to say through the preacher is because they've never been born again or they are living in sin. The therefore here says, consequently, in light of the fact that you've been born again to eternal life by the word of God, therefore, what? Desire. Therefore, desire. You see the logic? Only it's not human logic, it's theologic, it's theological. Theologically, if you've been born again by the living, enduring Word of God, then you, like a newborn baby, should want more of that Word by which you've been given new life. That's what he's saying. But the prerequisite to spiritual growth, the prerequisite to desiring the theology or the truth of God's Word, is you have to have been born again. You know what's a fair question for me to ask you? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? You know what the greatest evidence is that you've been born again? You love this book. You want to hear preaching. You want to hear teaching. You want to come to Bible study. You want to know what this book says. You want to open it and read it. You want to study it for yourself. You desire the pure milk that comes out of the Word of God. You want to know theology. You want to know what this says about God and what it says about man and what it says about Christ, what it says about sin and what it says about life. Have you been born again? And one of the greatest evidences of new life in Jesus Christ is you desire the pure milk of the Word, and you're commanded to do so. But there's a second one, a second prerequisite to desiring the pure milk of the Word, a second prerequisite to spiritual growth. You must lay aside your sin. Notice what he says, therefore, which means in light of the fact that you've been born again through the living Word of God, laying aside, which is a participle, who cares, right? A participle is an ing word. It's an ing word, and ing words are, especially in this case, it's something that has to happen first. It could be translated, therefore, after you lay aside all malice and all these other sins, like newborn babes, desire. Desire follows the laying aside. Laying aside precedes the desiring. He says, therefore, after you've laid aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, what are those things? Sins that have to be laid aside if you're going to desire the pure milk of God's word. This is a prerequisite. Where he says, laying aside, you see it there, verse 1, laying aside. That was a word used of removing filthy clothes. How many of you have ever done dirty work? There's a whole show on called Dirty Jobs. How many of you have ever done dirty work? Oh, it'd be fun to have testimony time now and say, well, here's the dirty job I had, and we could compare. That's actually a fun thing to compare. Yeah, well, that's nothing. I worked, and mine is pretty much a topper. You would have a hard time beating me. I worked nights. No. And we're going to have testimony time at some point. tell what dirty job you had. But I get to tell mine because this is the power of the pulpit. I get to tell mine. I worked nights cleaning chicken stuff off of the walls of a chicken house. That's pretty nasty. You're in a wetsuit and you've got hot, steamy water and you're with the hot, steamy water, you're scraping that off. That's nasty, right? And I tell you what, if you do that, or if you do the dirty job that Guy wants to tell us about, and we'll surely tell whoever's willing to stay after, if you do a really nasty, dirty job, you don't want to stay in those clothes for long, right? How many of you have ever been in clothes, you're like, I just got to get out of these clothes? That's the word picture here. Therefore, after you lay aside these filthy, nasty, stinky things, like what? Look at the things you have to lay aside. All malice. That's a very broad term. You know what it really means? All badness. You just need to lay aside all your badness. Well, like what? Well, now he gets more specific. And by the way, and is between all these. In my Bible, it says all malice, comma, all deceit, comma, hypocrisy. That's not the way it reads. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. In other words, you need to lay aside all this nasty, dirty, stinky sin, or you're not going to desire the pure milk of God's word. He says, laying aside all malice and all deceit. What's deceit? It's like all deceitfulness, all attempts at covering up who you are or what you are, all attempts at trying to hide the truth, all attempts at trying to look like what you're not, all attempts at trying to, and it's connected to the next one, and hypocrisies. All attempts at putting on a face like you're some good religious person, you show up in church on Sunday, but if anyone saw your life from Monday to Saturday, they would be shocked and appalled. I tell you what, God hates that. Christ hates that. And if you hate hypocrisy, you're in good company with Jesus Christ. And if you say, well, I don't like church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, I'll tell you what, Christ doesn't like hypocrisy either. And through Peter, he says, you need to get rid of that. You need to lay that aside like a nasty garment. You don't want to be clothed in that anymore. You don't want to be wearing that to church. You don't want to be wearing that when you come to the Bible. He says, and laying aside all malice, that's all your badness, all deceitfulness, that's all attempts to try and trick and deceive, all hypocrisies, plural, indicating there are probably various forms of it or various cases of it, lay that all aside, and all jealousies. Again, probably because there are various forms and various cases. You know, you're jealous of this guy because he's got more power than you. You're jealous of this woman because she's got more money than you. You're jealous of this guy because he's more popular than you. You're jealous of this guy because he's got some position that you wish you had. That stinks. That is dirty. That's wrong. You need to lay that all aside and stop being envious. God is sovereign. He gives people what they have. If they have more money, that's because God has decided they're going to have more money. If he or she has more power, a better position or whatever, or is more popular, that's God's doing. And your job is not to be jealous and envious. Lay that aside. It's going to hinder you from wanting the pure milk of the word. And lay aside all evil speaking. This is when you're talking about people behind the back. Lay that aside. That's not going to make you want to receive the pure milk of the word. Right? That's going to hinder you. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us that before you can desire the pure milk of God's word, two other things have to happen. You need to be born again, and you need to lay aside all sin. Now, lay aside is a word picture, obviously. You know, dirty, nasty, stinky, rotten clothes you can actually take off and lay them aside and burn them or something. But what are you actually supposed to do with your hypocrisy, your envy, your deceitfulness, your badness? What are you actually literally supposed to do? Well, let me read to you a couple of other verses and you'll know. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. If you try to cover up your sins, you will not prosper. You might think you are, but you won't. In other words, you're not going to get away with that. The second line says, but... here's the good news. Whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. If you will confess your sin and turn away from it, forsake it, God will show you mercy. That's the gospel. The only way he can show you mercy is because Christ has paid for the sins of those who genuinely believe and forsake their own sins and turn to God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins... he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Laying aside is a matter of confessing your sins to God and forsaking them and replacing your sin with something that's righteous. What's the righteous thing here? It says lay aside all those sins and instead do something righteous. You know what it is? Desire the pure milk of the word. That is a righteous thing. Come to the Word of God and desire what it is that God has to give you from His book. So here's a second legitimate question for me to ask of you. The first one is, have you been born again? And the second one is, have you laid aside your sin? Have you confessed and forsaken your sin? This will be a good time to do that. If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, now's the time. Today's the day. Today is the day for you to say, Lord God, forgive me. I want to trust in Christ. I want to follow Christ. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. It's not an option. And unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. You'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. If you think you can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again, you're deceived. And second of all, I ask you, have you made a break with sin? Have you laid it aside? Have you forsaken your sins, your badness, your hypocrisies, your deceitfulness, your jealousies? Have you forsaken those things? They are prerequisites to desiring the Word of God that you might grow thereby. That leaves a lot of questions like, well, what exactly is the pure milk? I mean, I've hinted at it, but how do you really know that theology or truth or doctrine is the pure milk? And how are you supposed to get that? You say it's in abundance on every page. How do you actually get pure milk from God's Word? And what is the benefit? Does it take an investment? Do you have to really pull at the straw to get the milk? And if you get the milk, what are you going to get out of that? And why is this so important? Those are things we'll cover in the next week or two. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you teach us, you speak to us. I thank you that you speak to us through your living word. Father, I pray for everyone who's here. There may be some here, Father, who are not born again. You know who they are. And I just pray that you might be merciful today and open someone's heart and mind to receive the gospel. There may be others here who have professed faith in Christ but have been engaged in some kind of sin, whether that's deceit or hypocrisy or jealousy or just some kind of badness or evil. I pray, Father, you might be merciful to that person, that they might lay it aside today, that they might confess their sins and forsake them. And Father, for any who are here today who are born again and have confessed and forsaken sin, I pray, help us to desire the pure milk of your word that we might grow thereby. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.